بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When we come to the gatherings of pious people, Mashayikh, Bzurganuddin, then we find some type of motivation within us. There is an inspiration, there is a motivation, encouragement to go on and to work forward. Then as we leave the environment, then we see that feeling begins to become weaker. Gradually it decreases. It isn't any longer at the height that it was. In the environment, work becomes like natural. Nafal namaz, or Quran Sharif, tilawat, zikr, etc., whatever. But everything becomes quite natural to continue with. And then afterwards it becomes like shifting a mountain, becomes so difficult, and it's no longer as easy as it used to be. So in the terminology of the Sawuf, this is called Nisbata in Ikasi. In other words, it is not your own personal achievement, it is the force of the environment that has affected you. It's like you're going to a attar shop. And as long as you are at the attar shop, you feel perfumes and you feel the beautiful scent all around you. For the moment you feel that, see, so much of perfume is coming out of me. Whereas that perfume is not yours, it is the ether of the environment. As you leave the environment of that attar shop, you will find that there is no attar left on your body. As you move away gradually, everything also fades away. So this is the effect of that environment. Then as you progress and you remain in the company of those pious people, then you will find that now this feeling becomes a little bit stronger. It's no longer for the moment only, it becomes slightly stronger. So they call this islahi. This is the second type of feeling, second type of connection that you would enjoy. And the example for this is, you've got a candle, right? You've got a candle or you've got a lamp, and the lamp doesn't have a head. There's no glass top, and you've got a lamp burning. Now imagine you go out on a windy day, on a rainy day, and if you don't look after it, that light is going to extinguish, is going to die straight away. So this is the second type of connection that you enjoy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is some motivation, there is some type of drive within you, there is some type of encouragement within you. But that encouragement and the drive that you have is still at a very low level, it's very weak. If there is anything conflicting, anything contradictory, then you will find that that light that you had, that light is extinguished. Like you're going into a stormy weather, you're going into a rainy weather, and all that light that you had, you thought it was your own achievement, and that thing just died. So it is at the first level, primary level, and this needs to be still enhanced, it needs to be strengthened, it needs to be guarded, it needs to be protected. So this is the second level that you will enjoy. Here again, one should understand that this is not yours, and this can be extinguished very, very easily. You need to respect it, you need to guard it, you need to take every possible care of this light that you have just earned now. So if you are going to keep yourself attached to that environment, you're going to keep yourself attached to those Buzurganuddin, etc., you will find the charge within you all the time. Or if it is jamaat work, for example, then you keep yourself within the tartib of the jamaat work, within the sequence of the work, then you will find the drive within you and you will see the motivation you are going, provided you keep and adhere strictly to their teachings. Right? And the moment you slip away, you move away from the teaching, then you will find that everything is slipping away from you as well. You keep to the system, you keep to the tartib, you see everything is working, and the moment you move away from that system, from the tartib, then everything begins to move away from you as well. So this is the second stage, the second level. Ask the children to move away, please. Go play outside. All of you. Go outside. So this is at the second level, and this light that you have earned at the second level is not something to be complacent about. It is still at the very, very infancy stage. And you need to look after it, you need to take care of it, you need to protect it against anything that is conflicting. Some mashayikh sometimes, they confer the khilafat to their murideen at this level. Khilafat is like the mashayikh are in a position of accepting someone for bayat, then they give the permission to their murids and to their students that they can also admit anybody for bayat. Now sometimes it happens that the murid, when he's got the khilafat at this very infancy stage, he becomes complacent and he feels, I've got it now and I have got what I'm supposed to get, I've reached a level. Whereas he hasn't reached a level, it was just that the Shaykh saw that there was some consistent pattern in him, and if he follows this consistent pattern, then he'll become quite strong and he'll be able to dispense the same type of hidayat and the same type of instruction, provided he maintains this teaching and this guidance and this instruction that he received, whatever he's been taught and whatever ma'amulat he's been guided to perform, and whatever other teachings he's been given, he maintains this, then inshallah he'll be able to continue. So this is the second level. Then you get a third level. Now that third level is quite strong, and to snap away at the third level becomes quite difficult. So the third level, the example that they give for the third level of nisbat is, imagine that there is a heavy current that is flowing, very heavy current that is flowing. Right? And if there is some debris or some dirt or some obstruction that comes in the way of that current is going to wash everything away. Right? At times, even major logs, if they have to come on the way of that current, they will also be driven away, they will also be washed away. Now, this is the third level of that nisbat. If this person, when he reaches this level, so he's bonded so well with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's connected so well with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even if he commits a wrong, Allah ta'ala will forgive him, and his association, his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not really affected. Because now he's bonded so well, he's connected so well, that his connection will force him that you make tawbah, make istighfar, make amends, and repair the relationship that you have with your Creator. You see, those three Sahaba Kiram that had not participated in Tabuk, right? And as serious as it was, but it did not affect the association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that short period, they were separated from Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from their families and from the rest of the believers. But this proved to be just increasing their muhabbat, increasing their ta'alluq, increasing their relationship with Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'anhu, he used to say around this period that they were boycotted, that my greatest concern was this time, that if I die, what's going to happen? If I die, then the Muslims are not going to read my Salatul Janaza. And if Rasulullah has to pass away, Allah Ta'ala forbid, in this period, then for the rest of time, they will cut off relationship with me. So that was the most serious concern that he had. So this boycotting just proved to strengthen their ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you see that other sahabi, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, and he had divulged some secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Umar radiallahu anhu was very upset when he learned that Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a had divulged some secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked permission if he could slay him. Rasulullah sallallahu stopped him, and Rasulullah sallallahu explained to him that Allah Ta'ala has looked towards the people of Badr favorably. He has forgiven all their wrongs. Their weaknesses have been all washed away. So even if they do a wrong, they commit some mistake here and there, the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so strong that it will not affect the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean that they will take advantage over the situation. No, not at all. They won't think that now we have this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it really doesn't matter what we do now. Okay? What we do now, we commit wrongs and we make ghibat or we do any other wrong, so everything will be looked at us favorably. No, it doesn't mean that. Means that the relationship with Allah Ta'ala is so strong that even if they have to commit a wrong, the nisbat of this, the association and the relationship that they enjoy with Allah Ta'ala will keep them in a state of restlessness. I'm totally restless until I make tawbah, until I make amends, and until I do not reform and correct and repair my relationship, the person will feel absolutely restless. When he's reformed, he's repaired his relationship, now he'll feel at ease again. So this is the third level of that nisbat that the salik normally enjoys. Most mashayikh, they confer the khilafat at this level, at this third level. So this is the third level of a nisbat. Then the last level is known as ittihadi. Right? Ittihad means becoming one. You got the ittihad alliance. Eh? Ittihad, united, something that is one, something that is on its own, right? So that's called ittihad. So this ittihad, as though the sheikh and the murid have become one and the same person. In other words, whatever good was in the sheikh has passed it on to his student, and to the one that was learning under him, he has passed it on to him. So whatever good you will find in the sheikh, you will find it in the student as well. And this nisbat is about the strongest, And in amongst millions of people, you will find just one or two murids that will reach this level of ittihad. Otherwise, most only reach to the third level, they don't come up to the fourth level. That highest level, very few people you'll find that come up to that fourth level and that highest level. So that nisbat is called ittihad. Now this is a very, very strong relationship, and you do find it, but it is quite rare and very, very isolated cases you will find that that murid has progressed, and he's progressed, and he's come to that level of ittihad. That the behavior pattern will change, the ways will change, everything will change. That nisbat and that association is so strong that everything changes. Tu man shudi man tu shudam ta kas na goyad badazi ke man digaram tu digari. Like how they say in love, in Persian love, they say that as though you have become myself and I have become you, nobody can say after this day that we are two people apart. We are one and the same persons. We are one and the same persons. In other words, all the colors, all the features, all the type of qualities you will find in the sheikh, you will find it in the student. And many of them become so identical. When you say ittihad, the very simple translation is identical. Some of them become so identical that even the features change. Their features, their patterns, their voices also change. Now you can't make out whether it is the sheikh or it is the student. They become so identical. So this nisbat is called ittihadi. Some of you all may remember that the day we were leaving, so we went to that mazar of Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh. There is a very famous incident about Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayh. Generally, this Buzrugan Adin, of their own choice, they prefer to go through a life of austerity and constraints. They don't like a lavish style, most of them. Some you'll find a little bit different. They have wealth, but they don't hoard that wealth, they spend it on others. And others, they like, of their own choice, to live a life of austerity and constraints. So you have different colors. They all, like the flowers in the orchard, one is of one color and fragrance, and the other is of a different color and a different fragrance. So you find these differences in their color, then you mustn't have any objection that why is this Buzurg, his style is different, and this one's style is different, this one's approach is different, and that one's approach is different. In the Anbiya, if you have Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam as the king, then you have Hazrat Isa alayhi salam that doesn't keep anything for tomorrow, absolutely no wealth. No wealth at all. Here you have a king who's got thousands and millions of things under him, and here he's got absolutely nothing, but both the Anbiya, you can't criticize, and you can't condemn, you can't run down any one of them. So he was of that type that he wouldn't like keeping anything by him. But in the meanwhile, now he received a guest. Now their tabiat was such, their nature was such, that if they have for their own personal selves, they'll go through any lens to make sabr and to be content and to be satisfied with their lot. But if they receive some mihman and some guest, and that guest has come for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, he has come, for no other reason but for deen he has come, then they will go out of their way to try and show him and extend the hospitality to that guest. They will make it, by God, God, please. They will make it a point to show that hospitality to them. So now, he receives a guest, and he doesn't have anything at home. Now, what should he offer to this guest? He wants to show the hospitality, but what hospitality can he show? And in that state of despair, he's going to the entrance of the house, coming back, going to the entrance of the house. So he's in a state of despair. Now, what can I do? I've got a guest here. I need to show him the hospitality. He has come for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what can I do? I don't have anything to show this person. I don't have anything to spare to this person. In that, the neighbor that was a cook, Batyara, right? Cook, he noticed that there's some problem here. Looks like someone came in and he doesn't have anything to offer to his guest. So he prepared the food hurriedly and he brought it. The sheikh was overjoyed, he was overwhelmed. And now, at least I've got something to offer to this murid of, or this person that has come for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was overjoyed, overcome with happiness. And sometimes you do make out that this is a time, it's a moment where your du'as are going to get answered. Like you find Shab-e Qadr or something. And that moment, your heart just fills up, you know, just fills up. And you just uncontrollably make du'a. More or less, for most people, this is a sign of acceptance. At that time, your du'as get answered. So the sheikh made out now, it's a time, it's a moment of acceptance. So he asks this Batyara, this cook, ask what you please. Unki kismat to khul gaya, his fortune just struck at that time. So he asked the murid, or he asked that cook, ask what you desire. So the cook was also a sharp person, smart person. So the cook says, will I get whatever I ask? Whatever I ask for, will I get that? So it's my word is my honor. Alright, I want to become like you. Now ask for something else. This is too heavy to manage. Because this was cultivated over years, 40, 50 years. I cultivated it, went through that mujahada, that struggle, that strive, that spiritual exercises, that zikr, etc. And it took me time to bring this up. It didn't just come like this. You know, the tree, now you see it's the wood of the tree is so expensive. Oud now, right? It's so expensive. One small little bark of it, 1,000 rands, 2,000 rands. Right? A little bit of oil you take out from that. But it takes so many years to cultivate that thing and to bring it to this level. Now you want it overnight. So this person became stubborn and he says, no, I just want that. You offered me, then ask what you desire. I want this. Sheikh says, but no, you can't manage it. He says, no, but I am asking you that. Now, when he insisted and the Sheikh had already given him his word, he said, all right, come. He took him into the room, closed the room, and started making dua for this person, tawajjuh and dua, etc. And for approximately 3 or 4 hours, carried on, continued in that way. After they came out of that room, after that half or 6 hours or 7 hours, whatever it was, after they came out of the room, both were absolutely identical. The cook and this Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki, rahmatullahi, both were identical. People couldn't distinguish who's the cook and who's this person here. But just that, the cook didn't have a steady walk. There was a little bit of a wobble on his walk. Because he's got so much in the short time, he couldn't manage it, he couldn't take it. They made it out, and within a few steps, the cook died. He couldn't contain it. Now, it was a question afterwards, was it the right thing for the Sheikh to do this? Because it cost the person his life. So, no, it didn't. The Sheikh knew that this person won't be able to manage it. But he didn't know that it will bring about his death. Yes, he felt perhaps he'll suffer some serious illness. After a couple of months, he will recover. But to this point of death, then he couldn't imagine that this person will die in the process. And number two, he had already given him his word. He's given him his word. He's promised him that I'll give you the same thing. So this is that nisbat ittihadi, where both the individuals, they become identical. All the good that is here passes on. And now you find the same thing in Hazrat Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Right? I'll just quote one incident and end up this majlis now. On the occasion of the Hudaybiyah, Sulah of the Hudaybiyah, right, peace treaty that was held there, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu couldn't contain this, that we are on the truth. We have got the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. We have come for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we being turned away from the house of Allah Ta'ala by the enemy of Allah Ta'ala, we couldn't contain this. So he went up straight to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Aren't we on the truth? Yes. Aren't these people on the falsehood? Yes. Then why should we give in? Why don't we open arms against this kufar? So Rasulullah tells him, I am the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forsake me. Wa kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he guides me right through. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala is still, his anger and his emotions are running very high, uncontrollable, very, very high. Beyond the truth, we came right to the gate of Makkah, the house of Allah ta'ala, and these kuffar, these are the enemy of Allah ta'ala, and they are preventing us the access. So he couldn't contain himself. Then he comes to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala gives him the identical answer as Rasulullah gave him. There's not one word difference. Whatever came out from the Mubarak tongue of Rasulullah, Abu Bakr had given the exact answer. So you see that nisbat. What was in Abu Bakr, what was in Rasulullah, the good, it passed on to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to the highest level. Nobody can be obviously identical to Rasulullah, but to the highest level, if anybody got the good that was in Rasulullah Sallam, then it was in Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But this comes obviously after a lot of time. Papar belne parte. You have to make a lot of struggle, a lot of strive, a lot of difficulty you go through. Eventually, that colors begin to rub. And in our day and time, one thing that comes to mind, the person that received this type of nisbat ittihadi, perhaps was Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullahi. After the demise of Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. The same colors that existed in Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, then it passed on to Maulana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. Whereas you see him, you see Maulana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, just before his father passing away, he wasn't so interested in tabligh and all that. He was more in educating, writing kitabs and all that. And now suddenly there is a revolution. The same spirit, the same type of fire, the same type of emotions that were running very high in his father, now it's found in this son. So this is called ittihadi, and this is the highest level. Allah Ta'ala grant us this type of nisbat, strong nisbat and strong connection to him.